Earth and Sky.
You're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast. At the 2008 meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, Ray Kurzweil was part of a panel of experts on grand challenges for engineering for the 21st century. I spoke with him after his presentation at that meeting in Boston. You were talking a lot about the tipping points of different technology, and what does it take for that tipping point to be achieved in some of the ideas that are floating around right now, some really great ideas? What does it take for people to not only accept those, but to get onto the market and start making a difference?
Well, a tipping point is that it's actually more effective and less expensive than the alternatives. In energy, the tipping point is very well defined. You know, what is the cost per watt? And right now, using these old traditional solar panels, the energy per watt is about three or four times as expensive as fossil fuels. But solar energy cost is coming down rapidly, and whereas fossil fuels are doing the opposite. And based on those trajectories, the crossing point where solar energy will be cheaper than fossil fuels is definitely within 5 years, and maybe sooner. At that point, it's going to be economically attractive, even if nobody cares about the environment, or let's say particular organizations don't care about the environment. They're going to go with the least expensive solution. And solar energy has the added benefit that it's renewable, it's friendly to the environment, and we have plenty of solar energy. We have 10,000 times more sunlight than we need to meet all of our energy needs.
And in this report, and in the committee, did you talk at all about some of the other roadblocks that work it kind of against those tipping points, like different industrial interests and just the whole politics of getting these kinds of technologies accepted?
Well, we talked about it. The exponential explosion of information technology really has been quite inexorable. In the area of computation, I mean, I have a curve of the price performance of computation going back to the 1890 census, the first census that was automated. And we've had smooth exponential growth of computation for the last 110 years, and it makes a very smooth curve through, and this is through the 20th century, where we had two world wars, the Great Depression. None of these things had any effect on it. The same thing we see in health and biological technologies. Genetic sequencing has doubled its capacity every year. The cost has come down by half every year, and nothing has affected that, including stem cell politics or any of that stuff. Energy, one might be concerned that very powerful forces that have an interest in the older technologies would block it. But in fact, there's now a groundswell behind these new technologies. It really has its foot in the door. There's billions of dollars going into it already, and it's starting to make a big difference.
So what are you looking forward to seeing in the future?
Well, I think these exponentially growing technologies are going to transform everything we do. We're going to be spending more and more of our time in virtual reality environments. So what you and I are doing right now, we could do even for hundreds of miles apart, and we're ultimately going to be able to inhabit these full immersion, very realistic visual, auditory, virtual reality environments, including tactile communication. So that's one exciting thing that's happening, and that's going to sort of merge with this phenomena of virtual worlds like Second Life, but they're going to become very realistic. We're going to transform health and medicine, and right now we're adding 3 months every year to human life expectancy, to your remaining life expectancy, but that's going to start increasing now that health and medicine is an information technology. According to my models, within 15 years we'll be adding more than a year every year to your remaining life expectancy. So as you go forward, your life expectancy will actually move away from you. The sands of time will run in rather than run out. It's not a guarantee, because you could get hit by lightning the next day, but it is a tipping point also. That's only 15 years away. We're going to clean up the environment and replace fossil fuels with renewable forms of energy. That's an exciting prospect. So all of these phenomena or trends will reach tipping points fairly soon and will be quite transformative within 20 years.
So you're very optimistic?
Well, I'm optimistic on these issues, and in fact, I think only these kinds of exponentially growing technologies have the scale to address these pressing problems. And people that express a lot of pessimism, we're running out of water, we're running out of resources, running out of energy, we're running out of space, we're overpopulation, are ignoring these exponential progressions. They just don't see it. They're oblivious to these exponential progressions. So I think if you have a realistic view of the power of the exponential growth of these technologies, you would be optimistic about these problems. But these new technologies have downsides also. Technology has always been a double-edged sword, and that goes back to fire and stone tools. And these technologies have downsides. For example, these biological technologies that will overcome disease and extend our longevity could also enable a bioterrorist to re-engineer a biological virus and turn it from a benign one into a deadly one. And the good news on that is we actually have the scientific knowledge to combat that, to create a rapid response system. The bad news is we haven't actually built that system yet. I've been working with the government to do that.
So it all depends on who's handling these technologies?
Right. I mean, these technologies are going to be very powerful. They can be used for creative and destructive ends. That's a very old story. So therefore, the story of the 21st century hasn't been written yet. And there's certainly potential for conflict and for destructive results. So we have to do and really emphasize the creative aspects of it. We have to develop defenses against abuse of the technology. We have to put in place ethical guidelines so responsible scientists won't create accidental problems. And if we do those things, I think it'll be a very positive outcome.
Thanks to Ray Kurzweil, inventor, author, well-known futurist, and CEO of Kurzweil Technologies. You can subscribe to this and other free science podcasts at our website. Visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Lindsay Patterson for EarthSky's Clear Voices for Science podcast.
We're at earthsky.org.